is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop.
Yeah,
stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, my friends, welcome aboard 6 After on this Thursday. Welcome to it. 888-900-9966 is the Common Sense Hotline. You can go to stevegruber.com to listen live or to go to podcast. Podcast can also be found on iTunes. And you can follow me on Facebook at The Steve Gruber Show and on Twitter at Steve Gruber Show. All these resources we put together for you on a daily basis. You can also find headlines at MTN News Network on Facebook. State and regional headlines for you, updated almost constantly. It's a hell of a good news feed. You'll like it. All right, so Congress overrode Barack Obama on the 9/11 bill yesterday. First time they have overridden a veto in his presidency. Overwhelmingly so, a clear rebuke of his stand on blocking victims and their families from potentially suing Saudi Arabia. Hillary is offering free college in exchange for some votes. Hillary Clinton, not shy. She'll buy your vote. She'll do it for a free college education, free tuition for families making $125,000 and less. Flint gets the money, by the way. Flint will get money for the lead contamination issues in that city. It was part of the deal struck by Congress yesterday, a bipartisan deal, Republicans and Democrats coming together to give Flint some cash. And Donald Trump landed in a bunch of money, $18 million in a single day. $18 million in a single day following Monday's debate. So the mainstream media may have thought that Hillary Clinton won, but, well, Donald Trump's donors certainly didn't. And it came from big places. Wall Street and philanthropists, including the owner of the New York Jets, Woody Johnson, Hollywood producer Steve Mnuchin, among the big names pouring money now into the Trump campaign. Massive funding day, said Mnuchin, the Trump campaign's finance chairman. With this kind of energy and generous support behind us, we're going to have President Donald J. Trump in the White House, he said. But despite all of that, anxiety is high among the Hollywood elite. Mnuchin doing his part, but the Hollywood elite and Oscar winners and sports stars and people like Bill Gates are building lavish bunkers. I mean, underground homes, if you will. The amenities range from swimming pools to bowling alleys. No kidding. As global anxiety fuels sales, and owners apparently believe they might be the next Adam and Eve. Good job to have, I suppose, if you get it. What do you need to do, babe? Well, repopulate the world. All right, well, let's try that. Given the increased frequency of terrorist bombings and so forth, there's an underlying sense of havoc that is being fueled by the divisive political season, without question. So it's no surprise that home security is going over the top and hitting luxurious new heights, or rather new lows. The average depth, by the way, of this new breed of safe haven that occupies thousands of square feet is 10 feet or more underground, subterranean. You know, this isn't your father's mouse trail, I'll tell you that. They're pulling out all the stops in some fashions, and I was looking at some of these things online. It is absolutely incredible. When you talk about being a prepper and getting ready, well, let me tell you something. These folks, you haven't seen anything like it. Anytime there's a turbulent political landscape, we see a spike in our sales. Given this election is as turbulent as it is, we're gearing up for even more sales, says marketing director Brad Roberson of sales of bunkers that started $39,000 and can run as high as, get this, $8.35 million. And by the way, if you need a 12-stall horse shelter, it comes in just a skosh under $100,000. So if your horses need a place to stay during the apocalypse, they're covered too. And by God, why wouldn't they be? I mean, I'd probably take my dog with me, but horses, I mean, that takes a lot of resources, I would think. A lot of these companies are in Texas, by the way. If you look this up online, you'll be shocked as I was to find these 6, 8, 10, 12, 50-person shelters, right? And they're all pre-built, and then they bring them to your home usually in pieces and bury them in the ground. And they hook up water supplies and air filters, and all the amenities are then, you know, worked on, cleaned up. But the waiting list is years. The waiting list is years. Now, you ask yourself, where are the most popular places to build these things? This is what's really frightening. Maryland. Maryland. More of these giant shelters are going in Maryland than anywhere else around the country. What does that tell you? It tells you the people in Washington, D.C., your congressmen, your members of Congress, and your senators, they seem to know more than you and I do when it comes to building these things. Mike Peters, owner of a Utah-based Ultimate Bunker, which builds high-end versions in California, Texas, and Minnesota, says this: people are going for luxury to live underground because they see the future is going to be rough. Everyone I've talked to thinks we are doomed, no matter who is elected. Now, there's the optimism we like. Doomed, he says. Robert Vecino, founder of Del Mar, California-based Vivos, which constructs upscale community bunkers in Indiana, he believes coastal flooding scenarios preclude bunkers being safely built west of the Rockies. All right, so it's bunker time, getting ready for the apocalypse with a swimming pool and a stall for 12 horses. Philip on the line in Flint. Philip, what do you think of all that?
Well, I was thinking about the energy thing. You know, it's kind of like, reminds me of Solyndra. I guess, you know, every single form of renewable energy makes waste, no matter what you pick. That's the first thing. The second thing is, you know, it isn't going to happen overnight. It isn't like Hillary Clinton can wave her hand and everybody will stop using coal overnight.
And nor should for God's sake. And nor should they, Philip. I mean, let's be honest. Go out. Where you live? Where? In Flint, right? And despite the problems,
I live in a place where you can't drink the water unless it's filtered.
Right, which is, you know, there's some truth to that, but it's not true in all the houses, obviously, as you know. But is the air clean to breathe? That's all I want to know. I know that it's rhetorical. The answer is yes. Philip, I have to run because Kathy's on the line to the south in Portage, south of Flint, that is, in Portage today. Kathy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Steve.
How are you?
My question is, you know, of all the times they decide to override, I feel this one is the one they shouldn't have. To me, it's opening up a Pandora's box for all the other countries to sue us. Can you imagine the litigation?
Well, everybody, there's a lot of truth to that.
Wrong.
You know, and that's something that that I was thinking about is a possibility. Unintended consequences could come from this bill. But overwhelming that they said they crafted it so narrowly that the president was wrong on this one. But who knows? I mean, it's hard to trust any of these people anymore, to tell you the truth.
I have a question for you. As far as the survivors of 9/11 go, when is enough enough?
Well, that's true. It's been 15 years. Maybe you have a point there, Kathy. Thanks for checking in. Kathy's checking in Portage from WKMI. Philip, of course, listening to WFNT in Flint. Back in just a moment here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
After on this Thursday, welcome back to it. Yeah, apparently a lot of folks have these high-end multi-million dollar shelters, bunkers, bomb shelters, whatever you want to call them. Anyhow, maybe our next guest knows more about it. Congressman Tim Walberg joining me. Congressman, how are you?
I'm doing well.
What do people in Congress know that I don't? Because I'm reading all these articles now that the folks, the members of Congress, are building these elaborate luxury bunkers and shelters there around D.C. I mean, you guys know something we don't? What the hell's going on?
But, you know, this is the first time I've heard about it. I'm not building one. I live in my office, so
well,
I guess
go.
If it's a bunker, it's a bunker.
Yeah, I guess I won't survive the apocalypse. The end times will claim me, I suppose. Anyhow, let me ask you about something I heard again yesterday. Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders out there on the campaign trail, saying if you make less than $125,000 a year, then your kids can go to college tuition free. That would apply to about 83% of incoming freshmen this year. To me, it sounds pretty simple. Like, you vote for me, and I'm going to buy your vote by giving you a free education. What would you call it?
Well, I'd call it the same thing, especially since she doesn't have any way to pay for it except by increasing taxes on less and less people to pay more and more. It's a system that moves toward European socialism in many ways, and of course that's the direction I believe that Hillary Clinton wants to go. Bernie Sanders certainly does, and he at least is honest about it.
No, he doesn't want European socialism. He wants Venezuela style, so that we can have a complete destruction of the system. He wants government control of the means of production. That's what Bernie Sanders wants. It's even worse, but go on.
I mean, you're right on that. It all moves that same direction because the minimum to the intermediate doesn't work, and so they go whole hog. And that's the fear. And I hope people understand that what Hillary Clinton is offering is just the same old, same old liberal claptrap that has not worked and has caused a melting down of a strong economy to something that is so sluggish and is now so divided across the spectrums in the United States. Do we want that? I don't. I hope that the majority of people, as they vote this November, decide the same thing.
Now, you had a pretty good finger wagging, you and, well, a whole bunch of other folks in Congress yesterday from the president, finger wagging, saying you had no business overriding his veto of this 9/11 survivors bill. He said it'll open the door to potentially getting the United States sued by people that are injured in war and so forth. Tell me about this bill and why you don't believe what the president is saying. It was bipartisan override, clear and thundering override. Tell me about it.
Strong in both houses. So what we believe that American citizens who have been harmed by foreign actors who receive support, funding, opportunities, and at the very least, no pushback from a government that should have known, should have the opportunity to file suit in court for redress. We believe that very clearly. When the president talks about this being turned around on us by other countries, for what reason, Mr. President? Are we a perpetrator of terrorist activity here in the United States? Are we sending bad actors over to foreign countries to disrupt their nation and kill their people? No, we're sending people over to defend people who desire to be free, at the very least, whether we've done it right or wrong, in the sense of policy. So, Mr. President, I would say get on board with the concept of what America is about and defend our people, not the terrorists.
So he was very strong, saying there'll be unintended consequences that opens us up and our sovereignty up for challenges. So you don't believe that at all?
I don't believe that at all. We are a sovereign nation because we are a sovereign nation. If the president doesn't understand that by now, after being president of the United States at the very least, he'll never get it. We are to be the strongest nation on this earth. That's point blank how it ought to be. And make no apologies for it. We are the strongest nation and must be the strongest nation on the earth. Otherwise, we don't have the liberties and freedoms that our system has put in place like no other system in the world. So he can push back. He always fingers wags if he's disagreed with. In this case, he was disagreed with a majority of Democrats as well. So I think speaking as the People's House for the people, and the Senate speaking as the state's house for the states, we did the right thing. And the president, sadly, only had one veto so far in his career as president. And had we had someone else other than Harry Reid in the Senate, we'd have probably had several others.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. All right, so let's talk about your race to retain your seat here in Congress. How's it going? Do you have any polling numbers to share? How are things looking for you? Because I haven't been able to see anything yet.
Yeah, I think we're doing well. It's going to be a battle. Our district is a swing district. It's purple. I'm a conservative, unabashed conservative. I believe I'm a conservative because it's worked in the United States. It's made us what we are. We stand on key principles of limited government, of reduced unnecessary spending, of liberty for people to make choices, and responsibility, personal responsibility with accountability. I think those are good ideas, and we're playing those out and showing a voting record that stands on that as well. Yesterday, I had, in fact, the last bill passed in the House of Representatives before we adjourned for October was my bill, that pushback on the president's crazy overtime, mandatory overtime rule that doubles the overtime requirement with no ability to pay for it, and with not simply just small businesses or large businesses causing a ruckus about it, but we're talking about universities like University of Michigan, Michigan State, that have spoken to the fact it'll cost a 4% increase in tuition on students. So
right.
this overtime rule is going to hurt people, and we're trying to save that, save jobs. And so we passed that yesterday, and so I'm talking about what we're doing, and I think I have a record that that will stand the test.
All right. Congressman Tim Walberg, we've only got, a little over 5 weeks to go, and I guess it gets interesting from here. Appreciate your time, as always, my friend.
Great to be with you. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll move on next week and see what happens.
There you go. Congressman Tim Walberg here on the program. Now, coming up next, we'll have Nolan Finley here, and he'll be telling us who the Detroit News is endorsing for president. I don't mean to laugh, but it's hard not to. Stick around if you haven't heard. We'll explain that to you when we get back.
Getting your day started with news from around the state and around the world. Common Sense Radio. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Go into a show. Stop in all the byways.
All right. All right, here we go. Our good friend Nolan Finley is back here. He is the editor of the op-ed page for the Detroit News. And Nolan, welcome back.
Always a pleasure, Steve. Good morning.
Okay. So you guys have a major endorsement announcement, yep. I understand. I don't know what to make of it, but why don't you go ahead and tell the listeners who you've endorsed?
We went with Gary Johnson, the Libertarian. We looked at all of the candidates in this race, particularly the two major party candidates, and we decided neither one of them fit into our values and philosophical views. And Gary Johnson was the person who came closest to that, and so that's who we went with.
I see.
The only true conservative in the race, or closest to it.
I see. All right. So there's been some questions about whether Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton are fit to be president. Both sides say they're not. But let's go ahead and see if Gary Johnson's fit to be president. Yesterday, he was on MSNBC with Chris Matthews.
I'm surprised you watch that, Steve.
Well, I watch a lot of things. But I understand he was asked a question about if he can name a world leader. Go ahead and roll that, Alex.
What would you do if you were elected about Aleppo?
About
Aleppo.
And what is Aleppo?
You're kidding.
No.
Aleppo is in Syria.
Okay, so we'll start with that. Now, hold on right there. Aleppo was his first question about what to do about the crisis there, which he couldn't answer. But then yesterday.
A
couple of weeks ago. And then yesterday on Chris Matthews on MSNBC, he was asked if he could name a world leader and who his favorite world leader was. All right, let's go with that one.
Can name a foreign leader that you respect.
I guess I'm having an Aleppo moment in the former president of Mexico.
But I'm giving you the whole world.
I know.
Anybody in the world you like. Anybody. Pick any leader.
The former president of Mexico.
Which one?
I'm having a brain.
Name anybody.
Fox.
Who's your favorite foreign leader? Get him off the hook. Name a foreign leader you respect.
He was terrific.
Any foreign leader?
Merkel.
Okay, Merkel. Okay, fine.
And by the way, that was not Gary Johnson asking. That was Bill Weld, his running mate. The Detroit News has endorsed a guy who knows not what Aleppo is and can't name a single world leader. That's worse than a Sarah Palin moment, for God's sake.
Name a single world leader. He couldn't name one he admired. Well, how would you have answered that question?
World leaders that I admire?
Which world leader do you admire?
Well, sure. I admire the President of the United States. I may not agree with much that he does, but I admire the office. Absolutely.
They ask foreign leader. Which foreign leader do you admire, Steve?
Well, I don't admire Merkel, but at least I can name a few. Who do you admire?
I don't admire many. I guess the closest I would be Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel.
But yeah, I admire him. I think that's a fair answer, because Benjamin Netanyahu.
But if you were asked on the spot like I just did, you couldn't name a foreign leader you admired. So why, you know, I'm not going to let Chris Matthews vet my endorsement choice. I thought it was a gotcha question, and I thought that, you know, sure, Gary Johnson's not great on his feet, but he's the only He's the only one of these three candidates who could pass a government background check to get a federal job. Hillary Clinton certainly can. I'm not sure Donald Trump could.
Well, why would Donald Trump not be able to pass a federal background check? That's a garbage notion, Nolan. Back that up.
Well, I mean, you look at his, you know what, we look at all the things we don't know about him. I mean, you look at his legal problems he's had.
No. Yeah. I want you to tell me why we know why Hillary Clinton couldn't pass a federal background check. You tell me why Trump could not pass one. Speculation, actual fact.
I think his past business dealings would put him in a questionable position there. And, you know, I would rather have...
You just laid the allegation that Trump couldn't pass.
Gary Johnson's capability and competence to be president. I'm not sure Donald Trump could pass a basic psychological test.
But see, again, now you're just throwing dirt, but you have nothing to back it up with.
You know, we looked at the three candidates, as I said, Steve, and we picked the one we felt was the most competent, capable, and fit our values. We're not willing to hold our nose and vote for the lesser two evils. So there's a viable third option, and we chose it.
And well, viable, I suppose, that has no chance of winning anything and has no chance to have much of an impact, except that, you know, votes going to Gary Johnson will take votes away from Hillary Clinton. There is that, which is borne out in the polls.
That's not our concern.
What is your concern, then?
Not our concern at all.
What is your concern?
We are voting our conscience, and we feel he's a candidate we could live with over the next 4 years. I don't want to be sitting here.
But you know you're not. But you know you're not going
to
live with him.
Either Donald Trump,
Nolan,
or Hillary Clinton.
But you know you're not going to be living with Gary Johnson. It's not even a possibility.
We're
you know,
not
going to
be living with Donald Trump either. Get out of that fantasy world.
I'm not in a fantasy world. The fact of the matter is, if you support Gary Johnson,
collapsing across the country. If we were simply picking a winner,
I'm sorry.
Endorsement.
Donald Trump's poll numbers are collapsing.
If we were picking a winner, we'd have gone with Hillary Clinton. I wasn't going to do
that. Nolan, hold on. I'm not thrilled with Donald Trump as a choice either. But let's be clear. Did you just say his poll numbers are collapsing across the country?
His poll numbers are collapsing since Monday, Steve. I mean, you want to look at that USC LA Times tracking poll, which has been an outlier the whole time. We've got a poll coming out in the next day or two that's going to show he's not doing so hot in Michigan since Monday.
But so, you say he's collapsing nationwide. The LA Times poll again today, 4 points.
That poll has been the outlier throughout the election. You look at the RCP average of polls, and he's been collapsing since Monday.
Nolan, you can listen to me. You're entitled to your opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts. Listen, Nolan. I like you well enough, but you're not entitled to your own facts. The poll numbers are not collapsing. The poll numbers are not collapsing across the country. In fact, that debate will probably have a negligible effect on this race overall. It will remain a 2 to 4 point race.
I'd like you to tune in tomorrow.
Whichever.
He's losing support. I mean, he performed so badly Monday night. I think a lot of people who might have voted for him said, you know, you want to talk about Gary Johnson's performance on MSNBC. It was nowhere near as poor as Donald
Nolan
Trump
Finley, I'll
did
tell you
Monday
this.
Night.
If Hillary Clinton becomes president, then the next Supreme Court justice that she selects that's far left of people we have now, that's on you.
Well, you should have nominated somebody who could beat her.
First of all, I'm not a Republican, and I'm not a Democrat. I'm not affiliated with any party. If you vote for Gary Johnson.
Primary, Steve.
I did.
You're a Trump backer. If you think
you mischaracterize what I am. I'm a guy that knows that Hillary Clinton is a dangerous human being in the White House.
I agree.
And Gary Johnson is no answer. Gary Johnson is akin to voting for Hillary Clinton. You can tell yourself and delude yourself however you want, Nolan.
I agree she's going to be the worst president we ever had, but Republicans should have nominated someone who could beat her. And they nominated only person in the field who can't beat her.
Like I said,
so get used
the
to
Supreme Court justice is
words.
On you. The Supreme Court justice is on you. The debt is on you. All of those things
on
are
the
on
Republican
you.
Republican Party.
No.
It's on the Republican Party.
It's on people that support.
For nominating a lunatic for
well,
their
supporting,
own nominee.
And by default, I mean, you're supporting
on.
Hillary Clinton. You're supporting Hillary Clinton, Nolan. You can deny it all you want. That's what it is. by default. Got to run.
You should have given us a better candidate.
Again, I'm not a Republican. It's not up to me to giving you anything, but I am going to give you grief when you vote for somebody like Hillary Clinton. I got to run. 41 after.
Michigan, born and raised with Midwestern values and Michigan common sense.
You know, normally I should just clear the phone lines after Nolan Finley's on lately because, you know, I mean, seriously, I mean, are you out to left field? The guy can't name a single world leader, not even one that he respects. He couldn't even name a world leader. The former president of Mexico. Yeah, we're going with that guy. One of the listeners asking if the Detroit News is even relevant anymore. Probably not. Newspaper endorsements mean pretty much zero, but it is interesting to get his take on things. Real quickly, though, Kevin in Williamston with some thoughts. Kevin. Welcome to the program. Go.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Real quick, I tell you what, you know, bottom line is this. Voter fraud, if she wins, voter fraud's what's going to take this for her. What in the world are the Republicans doing right now to try to circumvent what's going on in all these swing states for voter fraud? I'll hang up and I will listen to you, okay?
You know, I don't know what they're doing, but it's a concern that people have raised. I don't know. I think that, you know, a better candidate would have had a wider lead, but who knows? Chris in Kalamazoo, what's on your mind?
I think that Gary is trying to appeal to the youth by advocating for marijuana, and I think he's smoked a little too much of that stuff because he's forgot his mind a few times.
He's a little bit lost, isn't he? I mean, you look at the guy; it's like he just left, you know, the hookah lounge. Is what he looks
put
like.
Put the pipe down, Gary.
Exactly.
Put the pipe down.
Step away from the pipe, Gary. All right, Chris, thanks for checking in. The Common Sense hotline for you, 888-900-9966. By the way, exactly two polls out since the debate on Monday that would take into account the debate on Monday. One, today the Rasmussen Report has Hillary Clinton ahead by one, and a PPP poll, which is a Democratic-leaning poll, has Hillary Clinton ahead by four. Okay, so let's do the basic math. Divide in half, 2.5% lead. So nothing has really changed. We'll see, you know, his poll numbers are collapsing, claims Nolan Finley with no evidence to back it up. Just throws that out there, and I'm a little embarrassed for him on that. Anyhow, Bill Shugart, our next guest. We're switching gears a little bit. Turning to the green themes of America, tree-hugging and bunny-loving and hurting the poor. Bill, welcome to the program.
Morning from the Rocky Mountains.
Where are you?
I'm in Logan, Utah.
Nice piece of real estate you got there. Little loud on the phone, but we'll do our best here. So tell me about these green policies that hurt the poor that least can afford it.
Well, there are two policies behind this problem. Number one are the heavy subsidies from state, federal, and local governments for green energy alternatives to fossil fuels. But I think more importantly are mandates that many states have adopted that require the public utilities in the state to generate power by something like 25 or 30% of their power from so-called renewable energy sources.
Sure.
Sun and the wind.
Yeah. And Oregon has outlawed coal altogether here in a few years, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
And what does that mean? I mean, energy bills in Canada have gone up 350% in Ontario alone since they did the same thing. There's not a coal-fired plant left in Ontario, Canada anymore. And I'm told that by the end of this year, rates will have gone up a total of 500% since that process began just 2 or 3 years ago.
I've seen those numbers too, and if the next president continues the current president's war on coal, we're not going to have any coal-fired plants left either. And electric power is regulated at the state level. Anything that raises the cost of generating power, pretty much all of it gets passed through to consumers in the form of higher prices.
But if Hillary Clinton is elected president, not only will we have this, we'll have a whole hell of a lot more of it, because they'll tell us not only what light bulb we can use and how much water we can use to flush our toilets, but the regulations will extend to the mud puddles in your driveway. The regulations will extend to pretty much everything you do. And these automated cars that are becoming so popular in design right now, they'll force people into automated cars and dictate when we can drive, where we can go, how long we can go, how far we can go, all of these things. Or they'll put chips in the car that you and I use so they can tax every mile that we go. Another plan by the Democrats. The amount of regulation coming at us will be overwhelming.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But then again, back in 2008, Hillary Clinton said that we would have 100 mile per gallon automobiles on the road in the next 4 years. Where are they? We're going to lose jobs. We're going to lose have more expensive energy, and things are not looking good.
No, and the people that can least afford 500% increases in electricity and so forth would be people at the bottom end of the income ladder. Where can people find out more about what you guys are writing about and the challenges we face with the power plan, the clean power plan, and all these, the waters of America and all these other plans that affect us? Where can people find out more, Bill?
There are two places. One is the Independent Institute in Oakland, California, where I'm the research director. And all so that's independent.org. But also here in Logan, we have a public policy center called Strata that's exclusively devoted to energy issues. And that is Strata, STRATA.org.
All right, Bill. I greatly appreciate your time. And next time, hopefully, we'll have a little bit more. Enjoy the time in Logan, Utah. Beautiful place.
It sure is. Thank you very much.
There you have it. All right. We're going to catch up on a couple of calls here real quickly. Glenn checking in on the Common Sense Hotline from Dansville today. Glenn, welcome to the program.
Morning, Steve. Hey, I don't know why we get wrapped up in all these details and the debate and who said what and who did what. When one candidate is actively trying to destroy the United States of America and being paid by outside sources to do that and will take it apart, we know that. What do all the details matter? I don't see why people like one of your callers get all wrapped up in, oh, we didn't get the perfect Republican Christian candidate that would fit my lifestyle.
The problem is, Glenn, most people aren't smart enough to see through that and realize that what you're saying is in large measure true, that the America that you and I were born into is being destroyed. Back in a minute on the Steve Gruber Show, and I'll take more calls. Just for sport here, one more time. Let's listen to Gary Johnson try to think of a world leader he likes. Just anybody he likes well enough. Go.
Can name a foreign leader that you respect.
I guess I'm having an Aleppo moment in the former president of Mexico.
But I'm giving you the whole world.
I know.
Anybody in the world you like. Anybody. Pick any leader.
The former president of Mexico.
Which one?
I'm having a brain.
Name anybody.
Fox.
Who's your favorite foreign leader? Get him off the hook. Name a foreign leader you respect.
He was terrific.
Any foreign leader?
Merkel.
Okay, Merkel. Okay, fine. Save yourself. Can't argue with that.
Yeah. By the way, a news flash to Nolan Finley of the Detroit News. It's the Democrats that are doing their level best to destroy Gary Johnson right now because they know that Gary Johnson takes votes out of their column for Hillary Clinton. So when you endorse Gary Johnson, genius, you're in effect endorsing a chance for the Democrats to attack him, which they're doing, disqualify him, which they're doing in their best efforts, so they can get those last couple of votes. Hillary Clinton will come nowhere near 50% if she becomes elected. She might end up being one of the lowest percentages to win an election ever. We'll see how that plays out if she wins, that is. And the same would be true for Donald Trump. And so it goes. Hey, and on a related note, You and your family could win $100,000 in a brand new car on Family Feud. The show, hosted by comedian Steve Harvey, coming to Detroit on Saturday, November 5th, Sunday, November 6th, for live auditions. Yeah, look at yourself. You ought to go. I'm serious. You ought to go to Family Feud, to the live audition in Detroit. You know who I'm talking to. Send an email to Detroit@familytryouts.com. Detroit@familytryouts.com. They encourage videos and like to see pictures of the family. Maybe even play a mock round of Family Feud to show how ridiculous and exciting and wonderful you can be as a family. You and Steve Harvey can hang out. Maybe he'll name you the winner and then realize that you didn't win. I don't know. I like Steve Harvey despite all of that. It's kind of a related note, isn't it? Kind of nonsensical and silly. At any rate, hope you win. Remember, my friends, keep the faith. We'll talk soon.